Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to help us tonight none other than Mr. Fred Hammond!
Yeah.
Listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sister for this Wednesday, July 29th, 2020. At the top of the program, you heard Pastors Rance Allen and Fred Hammond singing Miracle Worker. Now, I'm your host, Bishop Shalene Cook. And I'm here with my wonderful sister and co-host, Evangelist Michelle Scott. And as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you please bow your hearts with us as Evangelist Michelle takes us to the Lord.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Father God, we come humbly before your throne of grace. But first, I just want to give you praise and honor, Father God, for all that you have done for us, Father God. We just thank you for just waking us up today, Father God, and allowing us to get to this point of the day. We thank you for our families and our friends, Father God, and for our health and our strength. We just honor you, Lord God, and I thank you for honoring me, Father God, on allowing me to stand in the gap and lift up your people, Lord God. Some of your people need one thing, Lord God, and some of them need another. But you sit high, Lord, and you look low, and you know what each of them need. You know what each of your children's situation is. And I ask you to just move all across the world right now, Lord God, and just touch each of your children and heal the sick and love the loveless and give shelter to the homeless, Father God, and just give opportunity to the opportunities and jobs to the jobless, Father God, and just provide money to the ones who don't have money. Father God, give faith to those who just have no hope. Father God, bring healing back into the hearts of your people and all over the world. Just give one big, gigantic hug to all of the people of the world, Lord God. And just have your people to just love on each other, Father God. I ask that you just burst a huge bomb of your Gilead love all around the world and just shower your people with just so much love that can just cover all of them all at once, Lord God. I just ask that you just move and just soothe all the hearts of your people that are hurting from the coronavirus, Father God. I know that just one drop of your precious blood, that any time that you are ready, not the people, that when you are ready, just one precious drop of your blood could freeze this into place. Oh, Lord God, I know you can do it whenever you are ready. Oh, Father God, I just ask a blessing that you would just heal all the animals of the world. Sometimes we forget about the animals, Father God, of the air. We forget about those that are creeping on the ground and those are in the water, Father God. We forget about the farm animals that provide people nourishment for their bodies, those that eat food. We know some that are vegetarians and don't, but those that do. So we ask that you just provide nourishment for them, the grain that they eat, Father God. I ask that you just nourish the elderly that are still blessed to walk the earth, Father God. Bless all of your servant leaders to still provide blessing words from you, Father God, to their sheep, Father God. I ask that you can continue to bless the nation leaders, Father God. Bless every military branch, Father God, and
yes,
medical workers, Father God. Continue to bless the guards that stand at the walls and protect us all around the United States, Father God. Bless mental health workers, Father God. Bless the topic we're going to talk about tonight, Father God. It's another tough one, Father God. And just bless the people who suffer from mental issues, Father God. Bless the professionals, Father God, that suffer as well, Father God. Bless Bishop, Father God, that stands on her post day and night, Lord Jesus. Continue to pour into her, Lord Jesus. She's so faithful, Lord Jesus. And I lift her up to you, Lord Jesus.
Oh,
and I just
ask
that you continue to just shore her up on the every side and just continue to cover her, Lord Jesus. Cover her, Lord Jesus. And cover me too, Lord Jesus. And just cover this program. You've been just blessing us, and I just ask you continue to bless us and pour into both of us and continue to love on us, Lord Jesus, as we love on your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, and to God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you for that beautiful prayer, Evangelist Michelle. All right, thank you, God. Tonight we are going to be talking about mental illness, the silent killer. In the African-American community, we are faced with a lot of issues when it comes to mental health. So tonight, with God's blessing and his help, my sister and I are going to tackle this subject. Now, one of the remaining taboos in many communities of color is the stigma around mental illness, whether it's depression and anxiety, or the worst case scenario, suicide. There is a longstanding belief in African-American communities that these concerns are taboo and their impact is mostly a white people's problem. Though communities of color, because of our socioeconomic challenges, may be at higher risk for poor mental health, the stigma surrounding it contributes to a reluctance to recognize the need for the help of a physician or a therapist. For many in the African-American community, our story is one of perseverance and resilience. After all, we did survive slavery, so surely we can survive sadness or anxiety. In this mindset, anything less would be considered spiritual or moral weakness. The problem in part is that we often fail to recognize that mental illness is much more than feeling melancholy or anxious. It is not a sign of weakness, and it does not discriminate based on skin color. We fail to recognize mental illness as an illness as we would cancer, diabetes, or high blood pressure. Amen. According to the National Alliance on Mental Health, approximately 1 in 5 adults in the United States experience mental illness in a given year, and this is irrespective of race, creed, or color. In addition, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Minority Health, adult Black African Americans are 20% more likely to report serious psychological distress than their adult counterparts. Amen. Despite this, African Americans are less likely than whites to seek out treatment and more likely to end up to end treatment prematurely. On the one hand, this is due in part to a long-held belief related to stigma, openness, and help-seeking, which can make African Americans and other people of color hesitant to reach out. On the other hand, professionals in healthcare communities must do the work to establish themselves as credible, reliable, and sources of support. Providers in this age of whole person care, it is incumbent upon them to determine how to address and to overcome this stigma. If they are to address the social deterrents that impact health in communities of color, they must first understand not only the challenges, but the attitudes and the norms regarding these challenges. They must own up to the fact that underserved communities are underserved for a reason. And the reason being is that most healthcare providers haven't been there. They don't live where we live. They don't live how we live. And it is arrogant for them to believe that they can decide to focus on communities that have gone underserved and to be embraced and trusted without earning that trust. Healthcare providers must start by listening and seeking to understand not only communities of color, but all underserved and inappropriately served communities. They must also change the narrative from a conversation about mental illness to a conversation about mental wellness. Mental health is, after all, more than depression, anxiety, or a bipolar disorder diagnosis. It is our overall emotional and mental well-being, including both positive and negative elements. Communities of color are no different than any other community in that everyone wants to live a healthy life, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. The challenge for communities of color and healthcare providers alike is defining what a healthy community looks like through the prisms of stigma and historical adversity, which includes race-based exclusion from health, educational, social, and economic resources. It is only by working together collaboratively as fully engaged partners that we can overcome this challenge. We need to know and understand that poverty levels affect mental illness or mental health status. African Americans living below the poverty level as compared to those over twice the poverty level are twice as likely to report psychological distress. In 2017, suicide was the second leading cause of death for African Americans between the ages of 15 and 24 years of age. The death rate from suicide for African-American men was more than four times greater than for African-American women in 2017. However, the overall suicide rate for African-Americans is 60% lower than that of non-Hispanic white populations. African-American females grades 9 through 12 were 70% more likely to attempt suicide as compared to non-Hispanic white females of the same age. Now, a report from the U.S. Surgeon General found that from 1980 to 1995, the suicide rate among African American ages 10 to 14 increased by 233% as compared to 120% of non-Hispanic whites. What happens at the intersection of mental health and one's experience as a member of the Black community? While the experience of being Black in America varies tremendously, there are shared cultural factors that play a role in defining mental health and supporting well-being, resiliency, and healing. Part of this shared cultural experience like values, family, connections, expression through spirituality or music, reliance on community networks and church are enriching and can be great sources of strength and support. However, another part of this shared experience is facing racism, discrimination, and inequity that can significantly affect a person's mental health. Being treated or perceived as less than because of the color of your skin can be stressful and even traumatizing. Additionally, members of the Black community face additional challenges accessing the care and treatment they need. According to the Health and Human Services Office of Minority Health, Black adults in the U.S. are more likely than white adults to report persistent symptoms of emotional distress, such as sadness, hopelessness, and feeling like everything is an effort. Black adults living below the poverty line, again, are more than twice as likely to report serious distress than those living above it. Despite our needs, only 1 in 3 Black or African American adults who need mental health care receive it, according to the American Psychiatric Association's Mental Health Facts for American African American guys. African Americans are less likely to receive guidelines. They're less frequently included in the research for psychotropic drugs, and they're more likely to use the emergency rooms or primary care rather than mental health specialists. Now, here are some barriers to us getting the mental health care that we need. Our money factors can make treatment options less available. In 2018, 11.5% of Black adults in the U.S. had no kind of health insurance. African Americans, like other communities of color, are more likely to experience economic disparities such as exclusion from health, educational, social, or economic resources. And, of course, this can contribute to worse mental health outcomes. Also, there is provider bias and inequality of care. In other words, if some of us go to a professional, we look at them as if they could use a professional. African Americans have been and continue to be negatively affected by prejudice and discrimination in the healthcare system. Conscious or unconscious bias from providers and lack of cultural competence can result in misdiagnosis, inadequate treatment, and mistrust of mental health professionals. Now, these barriers can create a distrust in mental health professionals, which can prevent many from seeking or continuing treatment. African Americans may be more likely to identify and describe physical symptoms related to mental health problems. For example, they may describe body aches and pains when talking about depression. A healthcare provider who is not culturally competent might not recognize these symptoms of a mental health condition. Additionally, men are more likely to receive a misdiagnosis of schizophrenia when expressing symptoms related to mood disorders or PTSD. Now I want to tell you how we can seek culturally competent care. When a person is experiencing challenges with their mental health, it is essential for them to receive quality and culturally competent care. What am I saying? Culturally competent care, which means we need to go to people that understand the way we live, the way we think, and the things we have to face every day. This is what having quality and culturally competent care means. While we recommend going directly to a mental health professional, a primary care doctor is also a great place to start. Your primary care doctor might be able to provide an initial mental health assessment and referral to a mental health professional if needed. When meeting with a provider, it can be helpful to ask questions to get a sense of their level of cultural sensitivity. Providers expect and welcome questions from the individual since this helps them to better understand what is important in their treatment. Now, here are some questions that you might want to ask. Have you treated other African Americans? Have you received training in cultural competence or African American mental health? How do you see our cultural backgrounds influencing our communication and my treatment? Now, whether you seek help from a primary care doctor or a mental health professional, you should finish your session with health professionals, with your health professionals feeling heard and respected. You may want to ask these questions of yourself. Did my provider communicate effectively with me? Is my provider willing to integrate my beliefs, practices, identity, and cultural background into my treatment plan? Did I feel like I was treated with respect and dignity? Do I feel like my provider understands and relates well with me? The relationship and the communication between a person and their mental health provider is a key aspect of treatment. It's very important for a person to feel like their identity is understood by their provider in order to receive the best possible support and care. If finances are preventing you from finding help, you can contact a local health or mental health clinic or your local government to see what services you qualify for. You can find contact information online at findtreatment.samhsa.gov or by calling the National Treatment Referral Hotline at 1-800-662-4357. Listen, saints of God, Jesus came to bring us abundant life, and abundant life includes mental health too. Unfortunately, the church has not always reacted with grace to those struggling with mental health. Now, the church is the place where the children of God are meant to find healing and support, whether that be for an abortion, a loss of a loved one, or a struggle with addiction or mental health. The church is designed to be a community where each member supports the other. God uses the church as a place where we are meant to find life and find it abundantly. However, the church often drops the ball when a member is struggling with something invisible like a mental health issue. For you see, a broken arm is much easier to recognize than a broken spirit. Chances are, we know someone who has been impacted by a lack of understanding in the church or unhelpful attitudes towards mental illness. In the Christian community, people sometimes believe that mental health issues are due to sin or an imperfect understanding of God in the Bible. While a right understanding of God is an important part of healing, Christians often think that the best or only way to solve someone's mental illness is to help them understand God's love or grace better. This often develops into the idea that the person experiencing mental illness somehow sinned or isn't a good enough Christian. If they were better, they would not be facing this struggle. However, mental illness is very much like physical illness. It is often not the result of a specific sin or weakness, but a general result of the fall and the reflection of human brokenness. Like asthma or dementia, it often just happens to people without them doing any specific thing to cause it. The church, either leaders or congregation members, can respond with, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" But as Jesus showed us in his response to his disciples, question about a man being born blind, suffering is not generally a punishment for sin. This attitude towards mental illness makes it difficult for members of the church who struggle with some variety of it to admit to themselves they are struggling and to seek help from within the church. This attitude makes them feel like they've done something wrong or that they have failed. The issue is compounded because mental illnesses often reinforce feelings of guilt, shame, and failure. Just like with physical illness, often the church doesn't have the medical expertise to heal the person struggling with mental health. So just as with physical illness, the one struggling should seek professional medical help. God can heal any illness. However, he can use whatever means he chooses to bring help and healing, be that medical professionals, family, friends, or the church. I want the people I love to experience abundant life, and I'm sure you do too. But sometimes misunderstandings within the church can make it harder for people struggling with mental health to find the help that they need. So what can the church do instead? One important step is for churches to talk about mental health struggles in a compassionate and informed way. This will help people in the congregation understand mental illnesses better and help those who are struggling find help within their church community. Mental illness, like physical illness, is not always cured. But like helping someone with a physical illness, the church can help people learn how to live with their illness and draw closer to God in the midst of it. There are many resources available for those struggling with mental illness or congregations that want to minister to the mentally ill. There are support groups, workbooks. There's all kinds of programs out there to navigate us as churches and community leaders in the ways of dealing with mental health. Amen, and to God be the glory. Now, at this time, we're going to throw our discussion over to our Christian reporter in the field, Evangelist Michelle Scott. Amen.
Thank you so much, Bishop. First of all, I just wanted to say that, you know, when we, like Bishop said, that when we often talk about mental illness, like she said, it's a stigma, you know, especially in the African-American community, you know, when we have someone in our family, there was always that uncle or that aunt that stayed in the back room and we, you know, just said that they weren't feeling well and, you know, so they just stayed in the back room. But, you know, we have to be careful also of the professionals, the doctors that take care of us. We have to, not only as African Americans, but as anyone that's seeking that have mental health issues, we have to be mindful the doctors or the professionals that we choose to treat our mental health issues. We need to choose these professionals, be they therapists, be they psychiatrists, psychologists. We need to be mindful in the ones that we choose because there are so many psychologists and therapists and that have mental issues themselves. So we need to know these things. There have been, in 2015, a survey done in Canada that found that out of 487 psychiatrists that responded to the questionnaire, that 31.6 said that they had experienced mental illness themselves, but only about 42% said that they would disclose that they had mental illness to their family or friends, and that they also had substance abuse. Now, Bishop said, because of the stigma, and there is also because there's a high increase of burnout, not only in psychiatrists, in doctors as well. And there was a survey done in with the medical doc, the high rate was 42% of the psychiatrists had mental burnout and depression. That's 42% of the psychiatrists had mental and depression, and they had a higher suicide rate, and they had high thoughts of suicide, and 4% of them did commit suicide. So we need to know that a lot of these professionals get into the profession because some of them want to figure out what's going on in their own life or in their family's life, or someone in their growing up has suffered something. They might have, like Bishop said, post-traumatic stress, PTS. Someone in their family has suffered something, a parent, a sibling, or maybe possibly themselves. So they're trying to figure some things out. You know, I don't put this profession down. My child is herself wanting to get into this profession because there's so many children in the world that are suffering. And we have reason why I say we have to pick the professionals out, and we have to really make sure, is because these doctors, all doctors take the Hippocratic Oath, and their our first one is to do no harm, okay? And then they also say, so if you to do no harm, that means that you will no way try to do any harm to your patient, and you don't want to do any harm to yourself. And then another one of the oaths is that if you cannot by no way means help your patient, that you will go to a colleague and you will ask that colleague to help you to help your patient. So if you feel that you cannot help your patient yourself, then you need to abide by that oath that you took. That doesn't mean that you're not a good doctor. That doesn't mean that you're not a good Christian, that you're not a good patient, a person. It just means that you is something going on right now in your life. Just because you have a mental situation, it could be just depression going on or anxiety. It doesn't mean because you have something going on in your life that you're not a good psychiatrist or you're not a good therapist or you can't be a good therapist or a good psychiatrist. That's not what I'm saying, and that's not what Bishop is saying. You can be anything in this world. You can accomplish anything in this world. You can be the best teacher, doctor, lawyer, anything in this world. So if you are a student, a child coming up and you're listening to this broadcast, please do not take Evangelist Michelle to think that I'm saying you cannot accomplish something if you have mental illness. I have many people in my family suffering from mental illness. I can counsel people with mental illness, and I tell them all the time, you can accomplish anything in this world that you want to. It does not matter what your or disability is. God blesses us with all different talents. You can accomplish anything in this world that you put your mind to. If you got to get to it and do it. With God, you can do anything. Anything that you want to accomplish, you can. How do you think they became the psychologists and the doctors and the lawyers? Because they had so much compassion that they kept to it and they believed in themselves. But you just need to know that there are some kids out there and there are some people out there that their professionals failed them. So you as parents and caregivers, you need to be mindful and you need to love yourself and you need to love your children and you need to love the people that you are taking care of enough. If you can spend enough time picking out a pair of shoes, you spend so much time picking out shoes and clothes, spend that much time picking out your health care providers for your children and yourself. You have the right to screen them just like they screen you and tell you if they have enough room to take in more patients. So you can ask them questions. Some healthcare providers disclose this information and they don't have a problem. But then some do have a problem because of the stigma. And we as people, not just African-American people, but just as human beings, we have to take the stigma off of mental health. There was a stigma, believe it or not, on cancer, terrible stigma on cancer years ago. But the stigma was from the 30s all the way to the 50s. People did not even put that they died of cancer on their obituary because they didn't want people to know that their family members died of cancer. So they wouldn't even put it on the obituary because of stigma. And so now people don't mind. People are marching because, and they're trying to find cures for all different types of cancer. So let us as the human race take the stigma off of mental illness. Let's take the stigma off mental illness for the from Black families, so they don't have to be ashamed and put that uncle and that auntie off in the back room. Let them come out and sit with the family at the dinner table. Let the children not be put in the special ed classes and let them be more streamlined with the other children in school when the schools come back from the pandemic. Let us march like they did for cancer. Let us march more for mental health. Let us not be so ashamed of people, the professionals, to be ashamed. Because if they could speak more to their patients what they went through, then maybe some of their clients and their patients, when they come in, they won't hold on to their traumatic experiences that went on in their life. If so many people hold on to it, that's why we have so much PTSD. We have so much post-traumatic stress, and the children are holding on to it until their 50s and 60s, and they can't let it go because the professionals have been taught to hold a straight bone face. How can a child come and talk about being sex trafficked to a professional and pour out their soul when the professional is holding a stone face, showing no emotion? I can't bear my soul to someone that don't show no emotion to me. Can you show your emotion? And then you go to another psychiatrist and they are taught the same thing, show no emotion. It's not fair to the child. It's not fair to the child that's now a teenager and now a young adult and now an adult. And they go out into the world and now they're in their 50s and 60s, and they're now still holding on to that same abuse that husband gave to them or that boyfriend gave to them, that rape that happened to them. They carry all their life, that uncle that abused them, that brother that sexually abused them, that father that raped them, whatever, they held on to it because, yes, they may have went to a psychiatrist, but they never were able to give it all to them because the psychiatrist never, ever truly helped them because the psychiatrist was never truly helped. We have to start learning to help each other. Truly do that. Let's truly each one teach one. Let's march together for mental health. Let's help these professionals to help their patients truly. God bless you all. Back to you, Bishop.
Amen. And to God be the glory. All right. And, you know, saints of God, one of the problems with mental health in our community is a lot of times because we do not go and we seek the help because, as she said, many of the providers are not really qualified to speak to our issues. But just think about it. You know, if you are Black living in America, you have had trauma drama all your life. You know,
amen.
Just think of African-American kids that have, live in neighborhoods where they have to listen to guns being shot all night, or gunshot, bullets coming through the walls, or, you know, they hear mom and dad in there fighting because there's not enough money, or, you know, they go to school and they're made to feel like they're less than. And all of this is culminating. So by the time these young people are in their early teens, instead of seeing a psychologist or psychiatrist, they're trying to get somebody to buy them liquor from the corner liquor store.
Amen.
Or they begin to experiment with drugs. And so the problem becomes then, you know, in our community, they just see us as a bunch of drug addicts and alcoholics. They never stop to look at the underlying issues, the issues of trying to escape. Everybody wants to escape. This pandemic has people burnt out. This pandemic has people losing it. But see, depression and mental illness is actually an attack of the enemy. And if he can get us, you know, feeling bad about our situation, if he can get us feeling depressed, if he can keep us from praising God, if he can keep us from reading our word and praying, if he can keep our minds distracted, that's what he will do. But we have to talk to one another. We have to pray for one another. Like my sister said, we have to take the stigma off of mental illness because, and we just can't go along with buzzwords. I remember a time where no one knew what PTSD meant. Now everybody's got PTSD. Every time we say, oh, I got PTSD. Oh, I'm ADHD. Don't pick up their labels just because they throw them out there. You know, really make them find out what's going on with you or your child or your loved one. Because believe it or not, the biggest group of people committing suicide right now are the elderly.
Amen.
People between the ages of 55 and 80 years old. They are committing suicide more rapidly than any other group of people just because of the uncertainty of everything happening right now. They have outlived a lot of their loved ones, their friends. They no longer can work. So a lot of them are just quietly slipping away from us. And what we need to do as a faith-based community is we need to go by and check on these people. We need to talk to them. But we got to keep it real with ourselves. As servant leaders, as pastors, our job is to rightly divide the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have been trained in counseling, like I have had marriage counseling training, I have had youth counseling training. If you have been trained, then you might be able to have a word. But if you have not been trained, then you should not be trying to give them advice on what they should do. What we should do as responsible servant leaders is make sure that they get to the proper people to get the help that they need. Because you can do more harm than good. Because like I said, some people in the church, they think if you've got a mental illness, it's because you. So what they want to do is, oh, we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. You know, you need to know Jesus better. That is not the answer. That is not the way to handle that. We know, like I said, God can heal all illnesses. But telling them they're less than, that they're not a good enough Christian, that they have somehow sinned because they have mental illness, is crazy and it's asinine. So we need to be very loving when we're dealing with people that have mental illness. We need to be very gracious. We need to be resourceful because in our community, we don't like to talk about things until they're at our front door. So what we're trying to do here on Sister to Sister and at the Spirit Alive Network in general is to inform you so that you will have some basic information and you will have a starting point, because we all need to have a starting point. So let's get this discussion started. I see Mother Mati is already ready. She's already got her one push. But if you are also in the studio and you would like to have a word on the topic of mental illness, please feel free to press your one, and I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. If you are in the chat room and you have a question or you have something to say about mental health, you are kindly asked to type it now, and we'll relay it to the rest of the group. Amen. So we're going to start with Mother Matisse, and she's already got her one pressed. Good evening, ma'am. God bless you.
God bless you, Bishop Cook. God bless you. God bless you to Evangelist Scott, Reverend Scott, and to all of you, all of you. God bless you all. Love you all, and I'd love to tune in. Everything that both of you ladies said is so true about mental illness. We as a society, we're ashamed of mental illness, but it's a lot of people that have mental illness that are crying, they're really crying out for help, and nobody won't help them. And I have to say, my mother had told me about Ronald Reagan when he was governor, said he closed all the mental hospitals down. That was a long time ago, long years ago. She said he closed all the mental hospitals down when he was governor, Ronald Reagan. And when he closed all the mental hospitals down, all the mentally ill was put out on the street, and then the staff, they lost their jobs. I'm just saying. And people that are mentally ill been out there on the street ever since.
Yes.
So mental illness is something that we have to accept and have to acknowledge. There's a lot of there. They need help. They're crying for help. And there should be more facilities in place for people that have mental illness.
Yes.
Homeless. Some of the homeless out there have mental illness. It's really sad.
Yes.
And like I always say, by the grace of God, there go I. It could be me.
Yes.
And then just pressure, everyday pressure alone. People can't handle children. Children go through peer pressure when they become teenagers. Peer pressure, and then adults in general, they can't handle maybe loneliness. They just certain things they can't handle.
Right.
And they need
Amen.
Help.
That's right.
People to be trying to end their lives and jump off out of windows and stuff. But that's not the answer. God is the answer. But I'm just praying that more mental facilities and psychiatrists, people that we put in place to help people, reach out to people so they won't commit suicide. There's so many even young celebrities. I mean young. They even have children. You see it on your phone. Children, young children committing suicide. I mean, they're young.
Yes.
They're small.
Yes.
I mean, it's really
Amen.
Sad. It's really something that needs to be addressed. And we just, you know, we just pray for everybody. You know, just pray. Even Robin Williams, he was a comic, and he made everybody laugh. He made everybody happy, Robin Williams. And they found him hung on his door. He had hung himself on the door. His home was in Tiburon. I tell you, it upset me so bad. I'm like, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You know, so it affects everybody of all walks of life. We
yes,
need to reach out to the mentally ill. We really do.
Amen.
Just,
thank you,
know,
Mother
Matthew. I'm just staying prayerful,
God
you know. But to you two ladies, God bless you both.
God bless you,
know, you
Mother Matthew.
You bring up some wonderful topics that really need to be addressed. People need help. People need help. They really need help. And I just pray for everyone.
Amen, Mother Mati. We love you, ma'am, and God bless you, and thank you, because we do. We just want to help
ma'am.
People.
I love you all, too.
we just want to help people and we want to give you a starting place. Mental illness is, you know, we've got to start pulling the covers off of these things so we can get healthy and be whole and live that abundant life that Christ wants us to live. And like I said, we can't blindly just take the labels that they want to throw out there, because we might not fit into those labels. We weren't around when they were coming up with the name for these labels. We weren't around when they were doing the studies for the medications that help with mental illness. So, you know, we have to ask questions. We have to do our due diligence. And we can't let them put us in a box. We can't. Because none of us belong in a box. So because our issues are different and our circumstances may be different, so one size does not fit all. Amen. So we're going to go to the Holloways in Arizona. Good evening. God bless you. I see Prophetess's number is here, but I know they're both there. Good evening.
He's in a different room, but I praise God. I praise God for being with you all this evening. And this is such a good subject, because I'm telling you, most of the churches don't even talk about mental illness. And I'm sure it's because the leaders don't know, you know, how to address it. But I thank God for tonight, and I just wanted to say that, yes, we do need a lot of patience with people with mental illness, because we don't know what they've been through. There was a little story, a young lady that was going to our ministry years ago, and she lived in a shelter, and she was saying how one of the ladies there, she had, I don't know, she had two or three children, but the lady was so distraught about being homeless till she wouldn't eat. They would give her a sandwich. She would stare. She would stare. They'd have to be very patient with her and prompt her to even eat. So we don't know what people have been through. And I agree with you all about the professionals. Some of the professionals haven't, you know, they know book learning, but they haven't really had an experience of living in any type of situation where a lot of these people have lived or been out on the street. So this is just a really good message, and to put a note on mental illness tonight, this is wonderful. And that we should, as we see people, to, you know, try to see where we can help. And I thank God for you, Bishop, mentioning the elderly. Because I think of the elderly now, and I know people look at my hair is white, and the way they talk to me sometimes is like, I don't understand or I don't remember what it was like to have been through. But I have this little saying that I tell them, my hair may be gray, but my brain is not gray. And so I understand, and I've experienced some things in life. So we do need to be patient and listen a lot to see where we can help. So thank you so much, Bishop.
Amen.
Angela,
thank you, Father.
I have enjoyed it. Praise the Lord.
Amen. We enjoyed what you had to say as well. Thank you. You know, we really do need to, like I said, pull the covers off, because we're losing a lot of our young people to drugs and alcohol because they're not getting the proper counseling. And this is where I'm going to talk to you parents as well. You need to pay attention to your children. You know, they walk around with headphones on their head. You don't know what they're listening to. You don't know where their head is at. You need to stop that child, and you need to talk to your children. that, you know, you need to see where their head is at. If your child is usually a bubbly child and they are all happy and usually, you know, are full of get up and go, and suddenly, you know, they're moping around, they're sullen, you might want to, that's a good time for you to investigate that and find out what's going on with them. Because, again, we don't have enough culturally educated healthcare, mental health care providers. You know, if you go to healthcare providers, a lot of them, you know, and you say, well, you know, I've just been feeling a little depressed lately, a little down lately. And their suggestion is, well, why don't you take a cruise? Or why don't you go out and go have a spa day or go have a shopping spree? And we're looking at that provider like, are you crazy? Where am I going to get the money to go on a cruise?
Come on.
Have six children.
Come on.
I look like trying to go have a spa day?
Okay, come on.
You see, they don't live where we live, so they don't understand what we have to go through. They don't understand what we deal with. They don't understand. So, you know, they're trying to help, but they're trying to put us in a box and in a mold where we don't fit. You see, that health care provider, they might not live in a neighborhood where they have to watch their loved ones being shot down. They probably don't live in a neighborhood where they see drugs being sold on their corners. They don't live in a neighborhood where people just hang out in hopelessness in front of liquor stores. They don't live in those neighborhoods. So when you go to them and you tell them what's happening, you know, they're shocked and appalled. And their first reaction is, it can't be that bad. But yes, it can be if you're hurting.
Mm-hmm.
On the inside, you know, if you're hurting. And then we're told as a society, as African Americans, we don't like to go tell our business anyway, because that's just one more reason for us to be seen as less than.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take that stigma off of mental illness, first and foremost, ourselves. Don't say derogatory things to people if we know, you know, they have issues. Don't, you know, we shouldn't be going, they just crazy. Or, you know, they not quite right in the head. They cuckoo. That's not the way we deal. That's not the way we love each other as Christians. We need to, first and foremost, show the love of Christ. And when we're dealing with them, you know, we need to think on the things of God so that we will be patient with them, so that we will be understanding, so that, you know, and you might not want to just go straight to a therapist. There might be other things that you can do that will be more helpful for that individual, that will calm their nerves, that will help them to settle down, and without them taking a bunch of pills, without them having to take you know, go on this regimen for the rest of their lives. So we can do a lot to help. And also, we need to educate. Like my sister Michelle said, we need to educate these professionals. We need to just tell them, and we need to know where they're coming from, because I have been to therapists where after I've gone a couple of times, you would think, you know, we might as well trade places, because I'm into that, you know. Yeah, you know, I'm, you know what I'm saying? We might as well trade places. So, you know, you need to know that you've got a qualified healthcare provider. Need to, and I'm going to tell you this also. You may find an African-American healthcare provider. But do not be afraid. Do not be surprised if they treat you exactly like their white counterparts, because that's another thing. Once some of us make it, we forget how to reach back and pull somebody else up. So we indoctrinate the same nonsense that a lot of these other healthcare providers indoctrinate. And, you know, they're dealt with, nobody wants to be helped if they're not respected, if they're being looked at as if they're less than, if they're being looked at as though, you know, no matter what you do, you know, they're coming in, they're pill shopping, or it's anything but what the problem is. So, you know, I just pray that we can have these conversations, have them start them early with our kids. I'm going to be providing some training to some of the local churches on how to spot some things, so that when people come amongst you, you just don't think they're being difficult, or you might not, you know, just think that they don't know how to act in a church setting. There might be something seriously wrong, or there's just something just a little bit off, and we can see it, but we can still minister to that with love, because everybody wants love. All right, we're going to go over here to Pastor Jeffrey Scott. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good evening, Pastor Jeffrey.
Amen. How you doing?
We're blessed. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I was just sitting here waiting my turn, just trying to, you know, let you guys know that you guys hit it out the park again with another hot, hot, great topic that needs to be talked about. And what I want to say, though, is that, you know, when you guys talk about the mental illness and everything, that is great. You know, and I just want to stress the fact that a lot of us are situations from getting caught in mental illness. Some of us are just a situation away from that. You know, we can go into depression. We can go into certain things that bother our minds, and to be on track and to stay on track is what we really strive to do. But for those that are going through mental illnesses and mental indifferences, we have to really take it as I would say we have to be as kind as possible, as gentle as possible, as loving as possible, because we really don't know the whole situation, and we can't understand it. And sometimes I think that's why God allows situations to happen to us that stress us out, that put us through different situations, so we could understand what it's like to not be in the right frame of mind.
Right.
And so we really have to understand that God really works in a way that our lives can be examples for others, even those with mental illness. If we don't want to accept that we're going through it, then just let a situation hit you. Let a situation happen. Let something go on in your life that you just can't have. You know, you would want to drop it all off. Like Mother Mattie said, you know, Robin Williams, he seemingly had it all together. He seemingly had it all together. But then you understand that what happened with him, he actually killed himself. And there are so many that are doing that because they can't handle, not that they can't handle the situation that they're in, but they can't handle how people treat them in the situation that they're in, because people treat them
differently.
They wouldn't know that they were different unless we pointed it out.
That's right.
You know, that's something that we have to really understand.
Okay.
We can't look at them as them and us. We're all together in this. So with all of our flaws, with all of our negative things that we do and say, all of this kind of stuff, we have to accept others as much as we accept ourselves. You know, love others as love yourself, right?
Amen.
You know,
amen.
And so if that be the case, you know, I just wanted to say that I appreciate the topic.
Amen.
I love you guys. And
we love you.
And And Shell, I don't know what to say about you. I don't know. I'm just not going to say nothing. I'm just, when I get home, I'm going to give you a big old hug. That's what I'm going to do.
There you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we've got to know and understand that, men of God went through depression. Elijah got so depressed, he wanted to die. Okay? He wanted to die. David battled with depression. So, Moses battled with depression.
Okay.
You know, when you are a person, and I'm talking to servant leaders, and I'm just going to say this right now, when you are a servant of God, it's always good to have you somebody to talk to. I think every pastor, every psychologist, every sociologist, every firefighter, and every police officer, they need somebody to talk to. When you're in high stress position, it's easy for you to get thrown into a tailspin. It's easy for you to just get overwhelmed. It's easy for when you have a lot of responsibilities, it's easy to just like Pastor Jeff said, all of a sudden, you're sitting up depressed and you're not even sure how you got there. You just are. But God dealt with He deals with depression in the Bible. That's how come He tells us that we have to allow His word to renew our mind. That's how come we have to pray and trust God and His faithfulness. So, and know that He can work things out. When your mind is calibrated correctly, you don't have a heart. You can get to that. You can come to that deduction. But when there is something off, when there's something not quite right, you might need help getting there, and that's where we come in. We want to sit and talk with you, and before we just you off and say, well, you need to go talk to somebody. Well, sometimes depression can be cured just by somebody listening.
Amen.
Sitting down and actually hearing, actively listening to what a person has to say. Sometimes people can feel better just by other people showing that they matter. If you have been made to feel invisible your whole life, like you don't count, you don't matter, what happens to you isn't very important to anyone, then, just being inclusive for some people will help them to come out of some of that depression and anxiety. Reassuring people helps people to come out of that fear and anxiety. And we can, as Christians, we can do that because that's love. That's what God commanded us to do, is to love one another. And when we are going through, Jesus doesn't say, deal with it. He counsels us. Mm. He's a counselor. Mm. He talks to us. He gets us straight. Coming back home and looking around at the people here and how they still think, it's kind of depressing because it doesn't seem like they're advancing. But I can't get depressed with them because how can I help them if I get in the same boat? You can't pull somebody out of a ditch if you get over in the ditch with them.
Mom.
Some of us need to learn how to use our testimonies more effectively. It's one thing to share something that's happening in your life, but is it relevant? Is it actually helping minister to that person? Don't be ashamed of what's going on in your own life. There are times, like I said, I've talked to a counselor before. It was hard caring for my husband. And as a caregiver, I needed that extra support to be able to handle ministry, being a caregiver for my husband, a job. So all of those things, trying to juggle all those balls in the air, I felt like I could go talk to somebody. You know, so I'm not ashamed. And I tell people, if I start feeling that way, I'm going to go talk to somebody, because there's no harm in talking. And there's no harm in talking it out with a pastor, with a servant leader, you know, and then maybe together you can decide if you need to have even more help. We want to say congratulations to Azalea. She's one of the youth here in the ministry.
Thank you.
Tonight she had her prom, and we just want to say to her, congratulations.
Amen.
And we're so proud of her, Apostle Zeta. So please let
yes.
her know that the Spirit of Life family is very proud of her.
Amen.
She's
and
walking
if you would like
to the store, but she was hearing.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Yeah,
well,
dinner with a friend.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, would you like to have a word on mental? What is, you know, you want to weigh in on this mental health thing?
Yes, just a little.
Okay.
Yes, I got on just as the prom was about to get off. There was about to close. You know, it was definitely virtual, so it was right here in the home.
Amen.
Yes, but the topic is, you know, touches my heart, and it has for years, because I've worked with people that, you know, had mental issues, and then it hit my home just a few years ago, and one of my own dear loved ones, due to some kind of whatever it was traumatic. And and so for 2 years, we kind of really went, especially the first year, but a couple of years, we really, really went through it. But I praise God that the Lord brought her back. And
amen.
Yes, he brought her back. She would have graduated last year at 17, but she's blessed to be graduating this year at 18.
Amen.
We just praise God for all that he did, because it sure wasn't easy, because she was became a totally different person.
Amen.
Yes, yes. But God.
But God.
He delivered her, brought her out, and I just, you know, I can't thank him enough. But it's a good topic for us to talk on, because some of the things that I was hearing was just saying amen to them, because I know. And like I said, long before that, my church was involved with people in the mental health. I served at Gladman's Hospital, which is one of those kinds of hospitals, and served the people there, took the word to them, and also had a time that we would go in and do communion as well. But so I know about it. And our annual picnics, which we always had with our church, Minister Joyce always brought a group in a van, and these were all young people. Some were not young. Not all were young, but they had some kind of mental health issue, or schizophrenic, anyway.
Bipolar.
Thank you, bipolar. And but we would get them, and every year they were invited to our annual church picnic. And they would come, and they would just have such a good time. And for the most part, they really enjoyed the service, because when we had our church picnics, we had our service right at the park.
Amen.
Where we had picnic. And so they would participate. And so long before it hit my home, I was already involved. And so it's a place for all of us, you know, that know God, is to know that they're here for a reason. You know, some were born that way, some got that way, it happened due to drugs or whatever, but you know, they still have a place here. And it's our place to try to serve them in whatever capacity that we can. So I will say that much. But anyway, I was sure thinking about you all before I logged on.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My
we thank you,
Jesus. Alive family.
Amen. 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 We love you. Would anybody else like to weigh in on this topic tonight? Hallelujah. Well, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's have
thank
a word
you,
of
Lord.
Prayer, and we will close out. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we just come thanking you for all that we have heard on tonight.
Yes,
I want to just thank you, Lord God, for Evangelist Michelle, Lord God, and the work and the research that she did. I want to thank you, Lord God, for Prophetess Vanessa, the Prophetess Kathleen, and for Pastor Jeffrey and Mother Matisse.
Yes,
I want to just thank you, Lord, for Apostle Zeta. We're coming together, Lord God, as a family, a touching and agreeing. Father God, we're just asking you to be a hedge of protection around those, Lord God, who are struggling with mental illness. Father, we pray that they find compassionate and gracious help, Father, that will help them over the hurdles, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, if there's anything that we can do to be a servant to them, Lord God, please just say the word, and we will be so careful to be obedient and give you the honor and the glory and the praise. I want to thank you for
Lord
what you're
Jesus.
Doing through this ministry, Lord. And we just pray, Lord God, that somebody who is struggling will find hope and know that we love them, oh God, that they're not invisible. And, Lord God, that we want them to get the help. Lord, we're praying for our young people. They're going through
Lord.
So much during this pandemic.
Yes,
we're
Jesus.
Praying, Lord God, that you keep their little minds and hearts in perfect peace.
Yes.
Father God, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would just bless,
Lord
God. And I want to thank you for the servant leaders here on this in the studio, Lord God, who are willing, hallelujah, to have a word
Glory.
With a young person. That are willing to visit somebody with dementia or Alzheimer's. All of these things, Father God, are mental conditions where we need patience, we need compassion, and we need love. Help us to be all of that, Father God, so that
Lord.
They might come out of that fall, so that they might come out of that darkness and walk in
Lord.
Your marvelous light.
Jesus.
It is in your holy and precious name that we pray it all. Amen, and thank you, Jesus. Let the church of God say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This has been Evangelist Michelle Scott. Hallelujah. My sister from the Divine Mister, and I'm Bishop Shalene Cook here with the Spirit Alive family, and we just want to say we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do.
Yes.
From our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you, everybody. I love you. God bless you. Good night.
Amen. God bless.
Amen.